Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on AM 1240 WGBB in Freeport, New York, and live streaming on the web at am1240wgbb.com. And my one suggestion to all of you listening is spit it out. No, that's has nothing to do with whatever you might be eating at the moment, or whoever you might be eating at the moment. No! This is a titular title kind of a thing, because it's the name of a show that is going to be playing or opening July 18th as part of the Midtown International Theater Festival off-Broadway in New York. And now there's bunches of festival plays that are going to be playing all through July and August. There's two different fringe festivals in New York, and a lot of the shows are worth checking out, a lot are not. And this one sounds kind of interesting. I mean, this one involves basically two women talking about their lives and their goals and their dreams and careers, and sure, that sounds kind of cool, but what makes this one extra interesting are the two folks who created this show called Spit It Out. One of them is someone who has quite a bit of experience in theater and musical theater. Her name is Amy Coleman. And then the other person is someone who has a bit of experience in that, but more experience in radio, in New York radio. You probably have heard of Valerie Smaldone, because she's been one of the leading lights on New York radio at Light FM. So I am very happy and excited to have both of these lovely ladies, Amy Coleman and Valerie Smaldone, on Dave's Gone By. Hello, welcome to the neighborhood.
Hi, Dave.
Good to have you here. So let's talk show first, and then to the radio stuff. How did Spit It Out come about?
Well,
I'm sorry, this is who talking
this
first?
This is Valerie, Dave.
Okay.
Hi, good to speak with you. We're delighted to be on your show, first of all, and thanks for having us on. I'll just jump in quickly, and then Amy will put her Spit It Out two cents in. Amy and I actually met at a health spa about 7 or 8 years ago, and the play opens in a health spa. So it sort of chronicles our friendship in a fictional way. It talks about how two women from completely different worlds really are the same beings inside and help each other to move on in their lives in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we also have lots of music in the show. We have 9 songs, and which kind of just gives it another feel. And you see these two women in their own lives, which are very, very different. Valerie plays a character who works in TV, and I play a character that works in blues joints.
And whereas in real life, Valerie works in radio, and you kind of work more in the musical theater.
Well,
in
I
theater
work
genre.
In blues joints, too, but
oh, okay, cool.
Also musical theater.
Cool. And so what is autobiographical about the show, and what takes the leap to fiction?
Just the fact that we, obviously, the careers are pretty much parallel to what we do in our lives, but also It reflects on our backgrounds, being Italian American myself, and Amy being from
Jewish.
The Jewish Eastern European background.
Oh, funny, you don't look Jewish. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're Jewish.
But don't
Thank you.
It talks about our families and our traditions and the things that bind us. And one of the things we like to say about the play is it's about being living outside the box, no matter what box you happen to be in. And more than that, I just say people come see the show so you can understand what that's about.
Well, sure, but this is radio and we have some time to fill, so I do want you to get a little more specific, please. In other words, what typifies this show as opposed to, and I'm not making a direct comparison, but to something like Menopause the Musical?
Oh, it's very different, I think. Menopause the Musical is really about people who are in the throes of menopause.
Well, yes.
And we're these characters a little bit before being.
Well, not good. Congratulations.
But I think it really is more about the dynamics of a friendship and how, you know, I don't think there are that many plays or movies that really talk about that. Beaches, I guess, was one, and Thelma and Louise. But this kind of chronicles these two women and how their friendship transforms each other.
Well, were there any major crises that, I guess, in real life, or has it been a fairly smooth sailing sort of thing for both of you guys?
Oh, for us as friends?
Yeah.
Well, I think what was interesting is that as we became friends and the friendship developed, because it developed as we wrote, we met at the health spa.
Mm-hmm.
Literally within 2 weeks, we started to develop our friendship and started to write together at that moment. So it really had parallel lives. And as we were writing these pieces, we started to realize that life was imitating art in a way, because there's a conflict in the play. And we had never really had a conflict, but in the last couple of years, the closer we got and the more intense the relationship became, just like in a marriage or in a you know, intense business partnership, issues come to life, as mm-hmm. they are apt to, and we started to have to deal with those issues. So it's been a very interesting journey, and if anything, the friendship has deepened with the writing of the play, and we got to know each other and our wounds much more as we started to move along together in this path.
Now, how are the logistics of doing a play within the context of the Fringe Festival, as opposed to, say, opening it off-Broadway or off-Broadway or trying to workshop it out of town? Why the specific decision to do it as part of the Fringe?
Well, it's not the Fringe, first of all.
Oh, sorry, I'm sorry.
It's the Midtown International Theater.
I'm sorry, yes.
We actually, you know, submitted our script, and they accepted us. And what's good about it is they give you a space, and they do their own publicity as well. And in the past few years, these festivals have really been a great place for people to kind of get their stuff seen, and a few have really taken off from those. So, you know, we're using it as a vehicle.
It legitimizes the play also. It says, wow, somebody thinks that there are legs here, and that it's worth showcasing and having people come and see. So it really helped us to continue to move forward. As you may know, Dave, a couple of years ago, we produced this at a restaurant in Little Italy ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great experience. It was something very different. And from that run that we did, which was about 4 months, we then went back to the drawing board and started again to rewrite and revise the script. Because once it was out there in a living, breathing, theatrical environment, we saw what didn't work and what could work, and we started again. And that's the great thing about all of these opportunities, is for the writer to really see how it plays and to see how it moves on stage.
Well, I have to say that it was kind of gutsy of a restaurant to allow a show called Spit It Out.
That's true. That is true.
Well, people are clanking their glasses and eating their veal.
Yes.
Now, Amy, you have had some significant theater and music experience in New York. Mm-hmm. I mean, just from your bio, I mean, you were the voice of The Plant.
Well, yeah, that was in a regional theater, but yes, I did do that, yes.
A little Shop of Horrors, and you were in Beehive.
Last session, I don't know if you ever saw that.
Oh, my God, you were, oh, yeah,
I
that was a
Vicky.
Nice show.
Vicky, yeah.
In fact, the guys who wrote The Last Session just had a new piece that they're working on.
Yeah, The Big Voice.
Yeah, it was in Los Angeles. I didn't get to see it, but the people who did said that it was very good,
that it's
going to go somewhere.
Yeah, I believe that it will, yeah.
So, apart from this, what do you currently do, by the way, Amy?
Well, I perform and I teach somewhat, and I also, we have a business, Valerie and I, too, a special event business, so we do that as well.
Valerie, well, we know what you do, but tell us a little longer or a bit more about how long you've been doing it.
I started at Light FM years ago, and it's been a wonderful run. It's 21 years. Don't do the math.
Mazel tov. Well,
thank you.
You did the math for us. 21 years. Congratulations. I mean, you've got to know that in New York radio, that's an amazing run.
It's been a wonderful run, and I've worked with the top in my field. I have fabulous bosses, and I've been extremely lucky. So, yes, it's been a wonderful run, and I intend to stay around for a little while longer, as long as they want me. You know, I work noon to four, so it's a great base. From that, I've done a lot of voiceovers. A lot of people get to hear me on the air, and it's sort of like this open audition process all the time. But, you know, theater has always been a love for me, and I used to be in theater years ago, and to come back to this passion is just amazing for me. Not only as an actress, but as a writer, and to work with somebody like Amy, who is just the best combination I could think of. You know, it just all worked out, and who would have thought when I met her in a health spa in the Catskills that this would be the case 7 years later.
You can't push me off radio that quick, because I did want to ask a little bit more, because you've been doing it for so long.
Yes.
And considering what's been going on in radio, not just now, but you know, I'd love to get your thoughts on, well, first of all, you have heard that Light FM is now changing format, going to be called Harold. Same music, but they're just naming it after somebody.
Well, that's somebody. News to me, but okay.
Yeah. No, nothing's changing. They just want to give it a nice name that people will remember.
Okay.
But honestly, what do you think of the whole, the dissolution of CBS FM in a more general sense? This kind of new formatting called Jack, etc.
Well, can I be totally honest with you?
That's why I do this show, yes.
Okay. I have a different opinion from most people in radio. I was speaking with a colleague this morning, and I think I horrified her when I said what I said.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. Nothing lasts forever. Everything has a shelf life. CBS FM was a heritage station in New York. The Yankees were a heritage team. They're having trouble right now. Things will never remain the same forever. Light FM has been a heritage station. God bless it. It's been fabulous. At some point, it will change, and I will not be here, and this whole scene will shift. I think things have a shelf life. I think things live them out as they need to. We love CBS. We love the talent. But the technology, Dave, and the world that we live in now is dictating a different kind of movement in the business, and it's changing before our ears and eyes. So what I think they did was trying to sort of live with the new world that we're moving into. I mean, Howard Stern leaving terrestrial radio was the first big strike in how things are going to go from now on. And I think with satellite, internet, podcasting, with HDTV, there will be new opportunities for people. I don't think people should panic or be frightened. I think you just have to understand there's a shift that's going on and that it's okay, and things are going to, you know, just move in a different direction.
I think that there's a lot of sense in that, and I do agree with a lot of that. And one of the things that I like, one of the only things I like about some of the new formatting is that supposedly it is broader. It is the fact that you're going to be playing, or these formats will be playing, a wider range of music from more decades. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's something terrible about playing Tom Jones and then playing the White Stripes on the same playlist. That's really cool. What bothers me, and I guess a lot of the CBS people, is that it really won't be like that. They'll just jettison everything from the 1950s, probably through the 60s, as well as all the DJs. And not that you won't be working there anymore as a DJ and they'll let somebody else come in, but there just won't be any actual people behind the mics announcing or talking about the show, the songs, the music. I mean, do you see that?
Yeah, of course. But I also think, just look, years ago, radio, we had a small playlist because that was the ideology at the time, that in order to have listeners, you have to have a very tight playlist. Now they're throwing in all these things. It's the pendulum is swinging the other way. And at some point, it'll go back, and people will want their personalities again. And it may not be on terrestrial radio, but it will be elsewhere. So what I'm saying is I totally understand people feeling displaced and just very hurt by the whole way this happened. But I think there will be another way that they can be used, and it might even be a better situation down the road. I don't know what that is,
right.
But my feeling and my gut is that we just have to be open to the change and open to going with a new shift, a new paradigm of how radio is going to exist in the next few years.
Yeah.
Because
we're in
a transition now that is huge. It's a huge transition. And when it all shakes out, things are going to settle down, and I think talent will have new opportunities they did not consider before.
Hmm. What do you think? I mean, I know you're not in the biz, Amy, but what do you think?
I agree. I do. I think that I do agree with what Valerie's saying. I hope that that's how it happens. I hope that, you know, doing the satellite radio opens up a whole other world, and that that other people get a chance to be heard. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's also that the fact I think they. The weird thing about CBS is that they kept a website, apparently, of their old kind of music, and that they specifically designed the new Jack format for these young people with pods and iPods and for downloading songs. And I figured, well, isn't that backwards? Because it's the people who are in their 50s and 60s and 80s who are set in their ways, who are just going to know how to turn on their radio and listen or not. And it's the young folks who just jump right to the web and will start iPodding and downloading and things like that.
Well, also, I mean, but the young folks, a lot of young folks are not even listening to radio. They are already on their iPods and they're not paying attention. So the Jack format might be for a little bit of an older audience, actually. Let's see how the demographics shake out. And maybe, wouldn't it be wonderful if the older folks decide, hey, I'm going to learn how to go on the Internet? because the music I want to hear and my disc jockeys are on that format. I think that would be very cool to get people to try something they haven't considered before. I love when people think outside the box. That's what our play is about. I have to bring it back to our play.
Sure. No. And by the way, the play is called Spit It Out. It opens July 18th and runs until when?
August 6th.
August 6th as part of the Midtown. It is a fringe. It's not the New York International Fringe Festival.
I guess you would call it a fringe, yeah.
Well, it's not the fringe, but you can call it a kind of a fringe festival, but a little F.
With a little F, okay. And do you have a theater that is actually playing? It's
yeah,
Midtown International
Theater Festival.
I'm sorry, which theater?
It's called the Workshop Theater. And what's the address?
312 West 36th Street.
312 West 36th Street. So that puts it just off 8th Avenue.
And right. You can go to SmartTix to buy tickets.
Okay. Do you happen to have that phone number? I can give it.
It's 212-868-4444.
Say that again.
That's 212-868-4444 or SmartTix. That's SmartTix.com.
And again, we're talking with Valerie Smaldone and Amy Coleman, the authors of Spit It Out, about their friendship. It's autobiographical, but also fictional. I mean, they're playing different characters, and talk about how that friendship has carried them through their lives. We'll wrap this up, but anything else you want to say either about the show or about your friendship or about radio in general?
Yeah, my last words about radio and just getting back to how people are using it, I think it's just an interesting time. I don't think people should panic, and I do think that stations like Light FM and other stations in New York City that we know and love will stay around for a while because people do want to hear their familiar favorites, and we still have a commitment to our community and our audience, so we're not going anywhere. I don't want people to think we are, but I'm just saying on a theoretical basis, I think change is always interesting and good.
Hey, notwithstanding the fact that Valerie is at Light FM, and that, you know, and Amy is not so much in the radio biz. But if you each had an ideal radio station that you would listen to, and don't schmooze me by saying WGBB because I know that's not true, what would it be? What would your radio station be like?
Well, this is Amy, and I'll tell you, I think I would like to hear an eclectic mix of every kind of music, and it wouldn't necessarily be people that were known. It would really be a broad, array of many different artists, and the less commercial, the better for me.
Cool. And Valerie?
Well, you know, Broadway music is my first love. And in fact, my first show was Showstoppers on WFUV. And that was really the best time of my life in radio. I didn't know what I was doing, but I had such a good time producing that show and interviewing composers and producers and playing from my record album collection of Broadway shows. So I happen to love Broadway music, and I would love to hear more show music and world music. I love music from other countries. I don't have to understand the language, but I think there's a rhythm and there's a sense of just joy that you can get from listening to, you know, Moroccan music or Brazilian music. So I would love a mix of that, and
well, I think New Sounds on WNYC caters to that a little bit, or David Guy's World Music, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Cool.
So, yeah, we just like interesting and new and fun.
Well, I hope program directors I know there's actually theater music on satellite, so that's out there, and I think on web radio, too. So, but I hope program directors are listening somewhere and rethinking some of the things they're thinking. But I hope everybody listening is thinking of going to see Spit It Out at the Midtown International Theater Festival on in the theater on West 36th Street from July 18th through August 6th. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dave. And also to women who are considering coming, this is great to come as a group and celebrate your friendship, especially for women over a certain age.
Like me.
That's it. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.